Playtime is a podcast of the Unite Leadership Collective, hosted by Tim Ullman and Jack Caliber. The ULC envisions a future in which all congregations fully equip the priesthood of all believers through world-class leadership development at the local level. Lead Time taps into biblical wisdom for practical solutions to today's burning issues. Each podcast confronts real-time struggles facing the local church in a post-Christian culture. Step into the action with the ULC at uniteleadership.org. This is Lead Time.
Welcome to Lead Time. Tim Ullman here with Jack Kalberg. Wherever you're taking this in, I pray the joy of the Lord is your strength as you buckle up for a conversation today about the next gen. Let me introduce you to Becky Chaplin. She is a DCE at Faith Lutheran in Las Vegas, also intimately connected to Faith Christian Academy, Faith Lutheran Academy, everything that's going on there in the education space. She has a passion for the next gen. If we miss on the next gen, I'm speaking as a dad of three teenagers. If we miss there, man, we miss big time. But if we cast big vision for our young people to know and follow Jesus and to invite others to do the same. Oh my goodness, what an amazing next season of ministry it will be for us. So I can't wait to learn with you today. Before we get into that, Jack, you feeling good? You buckled up, ready to learn today, bud?
Buckled up. Dialed in for a great conversation.
Holy Spirit, buckle us up. Let's go. Strap it in. Here we go. Becky, how you doing as we
I'm
get going today?
I'm doing awesome. I'm buckled up, yeah. Ready to go. The roller coaster's ready.
The reason I bring up buckle up is my son's 15 and he's got his permit.
Oh boy.
And he got in the car and put it into drive without buckling up.
Uh-oh.
Son, you got to buckle up.
Oh man.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was right there to give him, this is 101, bro.
Right.
So buckle up today.
Buckle up, baby.
Holy Spirit, keep us safe as we learn. So opening question here, Becky, what do you love most about working with and serving youth there at Faith in Vegas? What gets you fired up, Becky?
Yes.
Get us fired up today.
I am fired up. I love working with kids and with teens. It's my favorite job. I would do this job for free, but it's just be exciting to see the potential for life change like in these kids. I think especially here in Las Vegas, we have a lot of young families and they're hungry for it. Like they're eager. Mm-hmm. They want relationship and they want a friend. You know, they want someone who will listen to them and walk alongside them in whatever it is they're going through. And so I've just been really blessed to have those kids and teenagers that are ready for that and want to come to church or want to come to a Bible study and are looking for someone who cares about them and is willing to listen and to watch what God can do in the course of a school year or in the course of a month or a Sunday morning. Like you really do just buckle up and get ready for the ride that he's going to take you on. So I really love it. It's just, to me, it's about seeing that journey of faith for them that a kid may not have understanding about God, but then you give them a free Bible and now they're engaged and now they're reading God's word with their family or they're reading it on their own and then talking to you about it. So it's been really awesome. I would say across the board from young 3-4-year-old kids to sophomores in high school, you know, everybody, I think they're just really searching. Maybe that was coming out of the pandemic. I think this area specifically was like, okay, the Strip shut down. We didn't have our normal things here. And so coming out, everybody was just looking for something more, like deeper, and they're ready for it. And so am I.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you talk more and deeper, what are some of those deep felt needs of kids? And you can paint with a little bit of a broad brush, you know, moving into middle school years. Here's what I've heard from many sociologists is that the struggles that used to be present in high school have now moved down into the middle school. And what used to be kind of your college adulting problems, you know, are now in high school, like these kind of bigger struggles for our kids. Would you say a little bit about those felt needs and how they've evolved really here, especially since the pandemic?
Yeah, I think especially coming out of the pandemic, you know, and the statistics are out there and they are sobering. They're hard to, you know, read through, but there is like now a pandemic of loneliness and anxiety. And I think the mental health needs of middle schoolers and high schoolers is exponential. You know, we hired a counselor at our church to be able to have and reach some of those needs. But I think the further we go into the future, the more that need is going to be there. And I can tell, I have a lot of middle school girls that come to a Bible study that I do on Tuesday mornings. That's a Taylor Swift Era's Bible study. And it's fantastic. I love it. But a lot of those girls are coming. And just this morning, you know, we were talking about a song that's called This Is Me Trying. Like, I am trying. I'm trying to put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes for kids, that means getting out of bed in the morning, or that means going to their next class. And like, they are trying every day their best. And I think they're battling things that we don't realize. I had a teenager tell me, like, people think that our lives are stress-free, and they're not. Like, they are battling a lot, and it could be behind closed doors that we may not even know, or we're not paying attention, and we need to open up our eyes and talk with them. You know, I've had to, it's kind of a long game, you know, like you can't walk into a room of high schoolers and immediately have their trust. You know, I've been mentoring a Bible study at Faith High School for 3 years since I've been here. And I just had a girl this past Friday open up to me and express that she was really struggling with suicidal thoughts and depression, and being able to jump in that moment and show up, because that's what they need. And she was able to receive that hope and that life and that grace, and that just, I just held her by the shoulders and said, I am glad you're in this group. I am here for you. We can talk more about this. Like, it's just, and I don't know the right words to say. Everyone panics in that moment. Like, oh dear Lord, please help me. But in that moment, you just let God be present in there with you. You know, like, we can't do it alone. And so I just think, especially in the mental health arena, that's what they're really battling, and they want somebody to listen. And I don't always know the right words to say, but you show up and you're there, and the presence of God and your presence is what they need the most, you know?
Becky, but, can you talk a little bit more about the Taylor Swift Bible study?
Yes, absolutely. I can.
Is this the same one that's gotten some attention online?
Yep. That's me, guys. Okay. It's awesome. I love it. It honestly, what I have seen God do through this tiny little Bible study is amazing. So I was chaperoning a student council retreat for Faith High School over the summer, talking with a bunch of high school girls about Taylor Swift, because I myself am a Swiftie. And so they were talking about it, all excited about the tour. And I said, you know what? I bet we could do an era's Bible study, like take one era at a time throughout the school year and find songs and lyrics that coincide with Bible verses and find a way to connect them and discern what they mean and everything. And so we started it this past school year, and we've had about 20 kids come before school on Tuesday morning, and it has been amazing. I had a sophomore boy start attending, and he came for a little bit, and then he stopped. And then I reached out to him, and I was like, we're about to start our 1989 era, so I think you should come back, because that's a great era. And he came back, and then within a month later, he asked me if he could be a student leader of the Bible study. And I was like, yes, absolutely. So now he and I will work on like a Google Doc, and we'll find different lyrics or different Bible verses that match up to the songs, and then talk about those themes together. Sometimes I rewrite songs to like make them, because not, you can't just take a Taylor Swift song at face value and be like, this is about God. Like, clearly right. That's not what we do, but I am looking for similar words, or like, can I follow a similar rhyme scheme, but change it and adapt it to be God's love chasing us instead of, you know, like Taylor Swift chasing after whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that same sophomore kid on, when the news came to interview, he said, this Bible study is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I was just like, what? Like, you know, like he just, kids need a community. And we start every Tuesday morning for just 30 minutes coming together around God's word and encouraging each other. And to me, to see the impact of that has been incredible. It's my favorite thing.
So this is important, because I think some of the misconception out there is you're not doing a study to worship Taylor
Correct.
Swift, right?
Correct.
This exactly. is just recognizing the fact that there's a bunch of people that have shared affinities for something, and this becomes yes. an opportunity to, hey, we all have a shared interest in something. And then how do you steer that towards scriptural conversations with people?
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And so... Yeah. This it's is the same thing if somebody decided to have a Bible study in a bar with a bunch of adult men that love beer.
Correct.
Right? So 100%. We're not worshiping beer. We just happen to yes. have something in common. And now we're going to talk about the Bible. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? It's not a Taylor Swift fan club. It's a right. Jesus fan club, you know, and like Good. It's been a lot of fun. Like, to give an example. So because people get, I think, their alarm bells kind of go off. But like, there's a song by Taylor Swift called Enchanted. And she says, like, mm-hmm. this night is flawless. Don't you let it go. Well, I just used the verse that says, like, the word of the Lord is flawless. And then at the end of the study, I talked about, like, God's word is flawless. We won't let it go. Like, mm-hmm. just trying to find those connections and talk about those themes as it relates to their life. So it is all Bible-based. We talk more about the Bible than we talk about Taylor Swift. But the Taylor Swift poster is what got kids to that Bible study at 8 a.m. You know, if I just said we're doing a random Bible study on the book of Galatians, I wouldn't have 20 kids showing up on Tuesday morning before school, you know. But they come, and it's been so cool to see the life change in them through this study. So
that is so good, Becky.
Thank you.
I applaud that.
Thanks.
And any Swiftie haters or Swiftie Bible study haters,
right?
You got to back off, because that's so good. Whatever it takes to reach kids with the gospel.
Amen.
And there's not, you know, we get triggered, I think, so often if it doesn't sound like this or feel like this, or they didn't do that in my day, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I think of the Walther League back in the day. This is going back a few generations now.
Yeah.
You were centered around a dude, you know?
Yeah.
This dude who taught. Now, he was teaching maybe better theology than Taylor Swift, to be sure. But nonetheless, you got to understand the times. And I just applaud it. And anybody, like, what do people actually say? Jack gave one thing, but what are some other kind of negative comments toward that, Becky?
There has been some hate, which I didn't really expect, you know, because I was just like, I'm just doing what I think Jesus is calling me to do.
It got on the Babylon Bee. That's how big.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. I got turned into a meme. I had a coworker say, don't read the comments. I went home and read the comments, which you shouldn't do, because people will say anything if there's not a face to it. And like, a lot of people were saying, like, I really hope these teens are being seriously discipled, because this is not okay. And I was like, they are being discipled. Like, you know, I am trained and I love God's word, and that's the heart of it. Like, Taylor Swift lyrics are the mode, but the message is God's word. So I think people were, you know, afraid of, like, how are her lyrics biblical, or how is what she's doing? I mean, I've heard everything from Taylor Swift is a Satanist to a witch. Like, I mean, people really just will take a headline that they see and run the gamut with it without having all the information. And there are Taylor Swift songs out there that she said, like, here's to Jesus Christ who saved our lives. But people don't know that. They're just going off the, you know, lyrics that they are the video headline clickbait that they saw without getting the full story. And regardless, you know, of where anybody stands, this is art. And Paul quoted the poets on Mars Hill, you know, and used that to get to them. Like, you can use art in a variety of methods, whether it's music or movies or whatever, to connect current culture to Christ. And when that's done in a way that gets kids excited about God's word, to me, I'm like, that's the goal. That's the end game. Like, that's what we're going for.
Well, I would be excited about your 80s Bible study. Your 80s genre Bible study. That'd be fun.
Yes. Don't stop believing. There you go. We got this.
That is your era, Jack. You just dated yourself, bro.
Good use of the word era,
it's
too.
All good. All right. Well, I'm like, what made you, like, I mean, Jesus, Holy Spirit, but I've heard from so many people, like, you got to get to know Becky. We were in the same congregation we didn't overlap our ministries at Bethlehem Lutheran back in the day. But who are some of those folks early on? You take us back, you know, a decade plus or so to who cast vision for your life to say, man, you have creativity. You've got passion for the Lord. You connect well with people. Tell, because that's what I would say to you.
Thank
like
you.
You are in your sweet spot right now.
Thank
and working
you.
Working with young people, to be sure. So who was it that really had the ICNU conversations with you?
Thank you so much. My parents were both teachers growing up. So like, I had the teaching bug in me. Like, I knew I wanted to teach similar to them. But then as I got older, I was like, do I really want to teach in a school setting? You know, or like, could this look different? And I had, when I was 13, I volunteered for my church's Vacation Bible School, which is my favorite thing in the whole world. I love VBS. But it was at that moment when I was just 13, Mr. Briggs was the Bible Adventure station leader. So just a volunteer, like not on staff at the church. But he said, Becky, why don't you teach the Bible story tomorrow? And I was like, okay. So I went home, I memorized every word of that script, and I came back the next day ready to go. I cannot believe I was only 13 years old when I look back on this, because now I look at 13-year-olds like, okay, can I trust them to do the same? Would I hand them the script and say, go for it, you know? And I think that we should empower them in that way. But it was the story of the Israelites crossing over the Jordan River. And so the script said to like lay down wet, soggy towels and like have kids take off their shoes and socks and like walk across it and be like, ew, isn't that gross? And like feel the squish under their feet as they hear this Bible story. And in that moment, I distinctly remember thinking, this is what I want to do forever. I want to guide kids in God's word in exciting ways that they can feel under their feet and understand in their hearts and connect to their minds and just create this experience for them to interact with God's word in this way, in a memorable, meaningful, fun way. And so from there, that's what I chased. I was like, what can I do? You know, my mom said, when are you happiest? And I said, when I'm doing VBS, like that's what I want. So the dream became, how can I find a job where I can do VBS every day? And so I have done work with Group Publishing that produces a lot of those VBSs. I write for them and contract with them. Wow. But I also have found kids ministry and youth ministry, and to be able to do that on a scale with actual kids, you know, like I could write and I could sit, you know, and do that. But my passion, I need to see the kids. I need to hear their giggles when they're walking across the towels. You know, I need them to connect and see that the Holy Spirit is working in their mind and in their hearts and the things that they say. Like for me, that's what drives me and keeps me going forward. And so it's been awesome because I still get to do VBS as part of my job, but it also entails all these other things, you know, that I get to try and experience too. So it's been a lot of fun.
Shout out to Mr. Briggs, man.
Right?
We need more Mr. Briggs.
We do need more Mr. Briggs. And I wrote him a letter after all of this because I just realized the impact that that one moment that he has probably forgotten about by now had on my life. You know, like he didn't realize that handing me a VBS script on a Tuesday morning would determine the course of my career, you know, and he wasn't on staff. He wasn't a DCE. He was just a volunteer. And so I think it's important to acknowledge the power of a volunteer and to acknowledge how empowering it is to give kids a leadership opportunity, to give them a chance, because you have no idea what God is going to do through that, you know, and letting go of that control and saying it might not be 100% if I give it to a 13-year-old kid, but like, what could it do for the future of the kingdom of God? You know, that's the big question.
Well, here's what I know. My kids don't want to be with me as much as they used to. I have three teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to be with their friends.
Yeah.
So who's influencing them? They're friends.
Yep.
And if a leader like you and us cast vision for the 13 to 17-year-old somewhere in there to move from just consuming to contributing, doing, and partnering with us as we care for them, like that word from a peer is going to have a radically different tone and impact than from even an adult in their mid to late 20s and 30s, right? So even it, like development has to be a part of our ministry background, DCEs, right? So get us under the hood too, a little bit of your training. Like, did you have this development bent from the beginning? Because obviously that's what you received and then you kind of naturally gave it. Were you, because you're at Ann Arbor, maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah.
You're an Ann Arbor graduate. Yeah. Were there, in your training, was your training toward more doing or developing? And probably a little bit of both. But yeah, tell that story.
Totally.
A little bit.
And I think it's, I will say too, that it is hard because it is not our natural inclination. I think especially as leaders, we want to be in control. We want to lead. And so I have had to learn over time, like I have to be able to let this go. If somebody can do it 80% as good as you, you let them take it, you know? And I think that it has to be buy-in. Like kids need to have the buy-in of like, I'm the leader in here, I will. And I will say, I think that we probably need to do more in terms of training for that. Like I did have children's ministry and youth ministry minors when I was at school, but I think that the focus does need to shift from programmatic, which is, you know, we're kind of coming out of that. And a lot of my training was family ministry focused. So it was like, how do we equip and empower the family to be the ones empowering their kids? So I kind of look at things from that lens a little bit more. But now being in the field and in the front lines, we have seen more success by empowering the teens to be the ones to lead worship at youth group and to have, you know, teenage assistant helpers at our Sunday school programming or at Vacation Bible School, like putting it them in the driver's seat and telling them to buckle up, making sure they buckle up, right, Tim, like your son. That's right. You put the safety measures in place and then you let them go, let them drive and let them do it. You know, I had a 15-year-old kid this past Sunday who had to help me with like a skit that we did for our Bible story at Kids Church. And that kid came alive in a way that I have not seen him. I mean, he comes every week at 8:30 and helps me set out the craft supplies for all the kids. But like putting him in that leadership role, he was talking about it at youth group that night and like telling other kids what he did. I was like, that's amazing. Like to you have to be intentional about it and to give them that and just let them rise to that expectation. I think a lot of times people assume that kids can't do it or they set the bar really low and they're only going to hit that low bar. But if you raise their expectation and call them to that challenge, they will rise. They are looking for ways to serve. They don't want to sit on the sidelines. We got to put them in and let them play. You know, like we're there to coach and mentor them on the sidelines. But I do think it is intentional. We can't just hope that it happens by accident or hope that these kids have those skills. Like we have to be the ones to mentor them and coach them along, you know, and encourage them, equip them, and empower them.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
Becky, you are talking the ULC language, right, Jack? All day long. Yeah, no.
I mean, even the 80% phrase is like, 80% enough. Good enough, right?
Exactly. Get going. Yes. Yep.
The 20% you learn it.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
So what would be like some practical things if you were to give some practical, here's like a few things I could do in my own youth ministry to give more leadership away. What would be some of those things?
That's a great idea. Great question. I think one for us that we have seen be successful is empowering kids to lead in the worship band. So we have kids that play piano or kids that drum or guitar or whatever, sing. And those kids, I mean, they're showing up an hour before youth group starts to rehearse and they're recruiting their friends to come and sing with them, even if their friends have never been to youth group before, or come cheer me on because I'm singing and I'm nervous, you know? So I think giving them that leadership role has been great. And we also have had, I will say this, this is a practical change and you can put a kid in charge of this, but you need food. Okay. Like food is a Jesus used food all the time. And that is a connector for people. It puts everybody on the same level. Like we're all coming hungry. We're all ready to eat. And you can equip kids to be the ones in charge of planning the menu. Like, what do you want for food this month? You guys are going to plan pizza, pasta, you know, what a breakfast for dinner. We've done a cereal night. It does not have to be that hard. You don't have to break the bank, you know, but empowering kids to be the ones thinking of those ideas, they're going to be like, hey, I'm cooking pasta. Come tonight and make sure that it doesn't taste terrible. You know, I think just looking for what is the flow of your youth night? What is the flow of your programming, whatever it looks like? And what are the needs there? And then assign kids to lead and contribute in that role. We've had kids over the summertime, especially, we would just give a teenager the topic and they would create a devotion based on that. And we're there to walk and guide along and make sure that it's all, you know, good and sound, whatever. But they were the ones giving the devotion and they will listen to their peers, like you said, even more than they're listening to us, you know, and they want to come and support each other. They're coming because their friends are there. And so having them in charge of your social media is great because that's intuitive to them. You know, there's so many roles. It is like they know it and they speak it fluently and better than we can. So let's let them be the ones in charge and do it. So
this is so fun. I love it. What are some... misconceptions of Gen Z? Because I think every generation is prone to look down upon these young kids, these whippersnappers these days. What are the misconceptions of Gen Z? And going on down, I don't even know what is the next
Gen Alpha is the next Gen Alpha. Is what Thank they're you. Calling it right now. Yeah.
What year does Gen Alpha start?
Oh, I think it's like, I want to say maybe 2020. Like, I think they're going to be like, I've even heard.
So they're real young ones right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the ones that are coming up. Elementary preschool age is what. And then
Gen
Z.
Great. So let's stick with Gen Z.
Yeah.
Let's stick with Gen Z. What are some misconceptions that you like to dismiss?
Yeah, I would say one, I mean, just going, talking about how we are wanting to empower them and making them rise to those expectations. They, I talked with them about this, like, what is your conception of how people, you know, view your, what are the misconceptions that they face? And I think that they are frustrated that we don't recognize their work ethic. Like they are responsible. They want to work. They want to be given opportunities. And so I think one of the misconceptions is that we assume they can't do it, that we assume they can't be a leader, and they want to. They want to serve. They're looking for ways to be involved. And so in my time here at Faith, I've only been here for 3 years, and this summer I will have had 10 or 11 interns. And some of those are college interns, and some of them are from Faith High School. They have a Christ Academy program and they need hours for their internship. And it's been a mix of guys and girls. And I just didn't know what to expect from a high school intern, right? Like, I kind of was thinking like, okay, what am I going to assign these kids to do? Every single intern has gone above and beyond what I've expected. Like, they are taking initiative, looking for what needs to be done. I would come into a room and be like, oh, I was going to ask you to do that. And it was already done. So they do, like, if you give them that challenge, they will rise to it. And I think their work ethic is more than we think. Another one that surprised me that they shared was that they felt like adults don't know adults don't understand that they are intelligent enough to know what's happening in the world. And like, they are paying attention to what's going on in the political landscape. They wanted to vote. They want to make a difference. They want to speak up. Like, and adults think, and the way that this teen worded it, she was saying that like adults are the older generations act as if they are the professionals at living and they know what they're doing and we need to do exactly as they do. And I thought that was just such an interesting way of viewing it, because I think that as adults, we actually don't know what's going on. We haven't figured it out either. You know, we're all just doing our best. Growing up, being a grown up, being an adult is hard. Adulting is hard. But so we're acting like we have it all together when we don't. And they're seeing through that. And we need to be transparent with them and say, I haven't really figured this out either. Let's figure it out together. Because otherwise we're creating this barrier that they think we've got it all figured out and they know that we don't. And so they're frustrated because they need help. And so do we, you know, so let's work together on this. And they have solutions and they've been observing and trying to figure out a way to fix a lot of things, you know. And one that's really been on my heart lately is this, and I'm guilty of saying this as well, but this expression that kids are resilient. I think a lot of times, you know, something will happen, whether it's a kid or a teenager, they break their leg or they're in a car accident, like a minor accident. We say, oh, they're fine. Kids are resilient. Or their parents get divorced and there's a nasty custody battle. And, you know, they say, it's fine. The kids are resilient. Kids are not resilient. It impacts them. I mean, yes, they can bounce back. Their bones can grow, heal back faster from a break. But everything that they're going through, especially in their childhood and in their teenage years, is forming them for better or for worse. And so how can we be there for them? Like, they are fragile and impressionable and they need to be handled with care and grace and love. And we have all of those things as Jesus followers. So how do we come alongside them and say, it's okay to not be okay. You're not resilient. We know that you're hurting and we're here and we're happy to listen and support and walk alongside you, because that's what Jesus would do if he was here, and he is here in us. So let's be the ones that come alongside them. So
every generation has kind of themes that have informed the way it sees the world. Like, the millennials grew up in the shadow of 9/11 and the Great Recession. Gen Z's grown up now experiencing COVID-19 and shutdowns and, you know, inflation and different types of economic worries, different types of social unrest. How do you see that? Do you see them processing that and actually like impacting them as a generation?
Yeah. I just going back to that mental health, because that's what I see the most. And that's kind of where I'm interfacing the most with them, because, you know, we're talking about spiritual things together. And so it kind of naturally goes into conversations like that. But I think that they bear the weight of the world on their shoulders. And I mean, if their parents are going through something, it's on their shoulders. And if they're seeing the anxiety in their friends, it's on their shoulders. And if they're stressed with school, it's on their shoulders. And I have so many kids that will reach out to me and just say, like, I'm really struggling with this friend. I'm really struggling with my family. Like, they're wearing their heart on their sleeves and it's getting beaten and tossed, you know? Like, so I think it is such a fragile state that they're in, and the loneliness and the anxiety and all of those things are building. And for us to be the ones to listen, I've had to learn, like, I don't, like I said earlier, we don't have it figured out. We're just doing our best and showing up when God calls us to it. And so I think just looking at how the pandemic has affected them is mostly in terms of mental health. And there's social things there as well. You know, we had to kind of build back coming out of COVID, building back the youth group and building back coming and building up, trying to get kids to come out of their houses and get off their phones and, you know, whatever. But they don't want to be on their screens all the time. They did that for the entire pandemic. You know, I think that's another one of the misconceptions, that they're always on their phone. They are looking for relationship. They're looking for community. They'll come and play basketball at the park by us for hours because that's what they want, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think when COVID hit, everybody was like, they'll be fine. They're resilient. And, you know, they love technology. And it wasn't the case. I mean, you can only stare at a screen for so long before your brain is like, I need to step away. And I think that's where they're at right now. And you know, you obviously still have to be careful and monitoring. Like, we don't want them on TikTok for, you know, all day long, but we can meet them where they're at and then use that as a platform to bring them in, draw them in, and then be the actual in-person support that they need now and that they're only going to need more of in the future as they unpack and wrestle through some of the issues that they faced coming out of the pandemic.
Historically, never has a society and her leaders made decisions that consciously, and I would say conscious because we know the data, that consciously hurt the younger generation
for the
hopes of protecting the older generation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was completely backwards.
Yeah.
Completely backwards. Totally. And we're walking through the results. So the tension is, I get, you know, fragility and I get the struggle. And yet the vision is for strength. Mm-hmm. The vision is for the power of the Holy Spirit. The vision is that God has more for them, right? Yep. But you got to meet them where they are. There's a lot of research right now around, I've heard a number of different podcasts oriented around, maybe we've talked about kids' feelings too much.
Yeah.
So much. Right. And the mental health industry, like, get a kid. The quickest way to get a kid depressed especially for you struggling, tell me how you're feeling.
Right.
Tell me all these feelings. The interconnection in the brain between self-consciousness, hyper self-consciousness, and depression, they're interconnected. They're absolutely interconnected. Yeah. So the goal, I would say, I'd love to get your take on this. Yeah. The goal is to meet the kid where they are, but then this is a Jesus way to move them beyond where they are, into sacrifice, into service, into giving their lives away, in having respective responsibility over whatever it is, small or large, and saying, I believe in you. I see it. Like, let's go serve. Amen. Let's go serve. That is the ticket for the church right now. We have to enter into that space because it's the psychological that the psychiatrist, they can't do what only the church can do. Cast bigger vision, connected to our identity in Christ, and say, let's run, let's go, let's serve. Yeah, anything to respond to that though.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think it's true because we meet them where they're at, but we love them too much to leave them there. Just like God, he meets us where we're at. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He has a vision for our lives. He has a plan for our lives. And he sees that and leads us even when we don't understand. And so the same for these teenagers, you know, to meet them where they're at. We love them too much to have them stay there. And we have the solution. We have grace and love and joy and a life of service and following Jesus and all the excitement that that adventure brings. And so it's guiding them along and also modeling that example of like, life with Jesus is fun. So let's like follow him, you know, and be bold and see what adventures he has. And I think casting the vision, especially for the plan for their lives, like what can God do through you, you know? And mm-hmm. I've had a lot of conversations. A lot of kids are thinking about college and that can be very overwhelming, you know, but to steer them in the direction of, I know God has amazing plans for you. Like you are so gifted in this specific thing. You have to be intentional and specific. And when you're complimenting a teenager, you can't just be like, you're amazing. Like, you know, you have to be specific. Look for the giftedness mm-hmm. that they have. Where is God gifting them? Is it in music? Is it in science and engineering and those passions or whatever it is, or a willingness to work with kids or whatever it could be. I mean, you have to be specific in looking for those gifts that are in their heart and that they're passionate about, and then encourage them in that and say, I could see you being an amazing pastor, or I could see you being mm-hmm. an amazing worship leader, or outside of the church, you can shine your light by being an engineer and a scientist and mm-hmm. bringing God and science together, because God created science and it's a great, amazing thing. You know, like I think casting the vision for their life specifically is also huge and important, because it pulls them out of the rut that they can be in when they are focused on their feelings and focused on the depressive thoughts and anxiety, whatever, to pull them out and say, look up, look forward. Like what Jesus has in store for you is going to blow your mind. It's going to be amazing, you know? And it gives them that hope and that courage to keep going and taking the next step and getting there. And so however you can cast that for their future and also their future with Jesus, because he's already there and he's going to get them there too. So we just get to be the ones cheering them on and help. I think it's that constant reminder, like, look up, look up, look up, keep going, yep. you know?
Good.
Along.
Yeah. Becky. Yes. Wow. Okay. We only got 15 minutes right. and I want to make the most of this. I got to talk about two things, VBS and the LCMS.
Yes.
This is okay. where we're going. VBS followed by the LCMS. All right. So
perfect.
Tell us why you love VBS. I think a lot of pastors say, wow, VBS come along. And I always right. get, like, what do you love most about
oh
it? How
gosh.
Do you flip the switch for us to see VBS is amazing?
Yes, it is amazing. It is the best week. We're doing 2 weeks this year. So the best 2 weeks of the summer for me. I love it. I know we're doing 1 week in the morning and 1 week in the evening to kind of provide for families in different spots of life. But I'm really excited about it. I think what I love is that it is creating that experience for kids in an interactive, memorable way to engage with the gospel, engage with each other, engage with leaders and people that care about them. But it's all done, I think, just like heart, mind, body, soul, you know, like they play games and they're running around and being physically active, and it's connecting to the Bible point for that day. They're singing music at the top of their lungs, and you know, the Holy Spirit is in that room and it's connecting from their hearts to their minds, or they're doing a craft or making a creative science experiment. It's engaging all of their senses and coming alive for them in a really amazing way. I've had, you know, I grew up doing VBS, so I loved it, but we would bring our neighborhood kids and they didn't really have a faith background, but they were coming because we were going. And I just had one of my childhood best friends tell me that VBS is like a core memory for her. She said, I don't remember that much about my childhood, but I remember that. And she ran into the pastor that did our VBS, and like, it was this joyous reunion and it just made me so happy. And like, that's the impact of what we're doing for these kids. You know, it's not, you know, you can run a VBS with very limited supplies and very bare walls because you don't need all the decorations. You just need Jesus, and we got him, and we can love on these kids and make this an exciting experience for them to see what God can do, and that the God that we follow is not a boring sit in your seat kind of God. You know, he's like, up on your feet, we're going fishing, or, you know, whatever. And we're going to do a scuba VBS theme. So it's just a ton of fun. I love diving in. I'm not trying to go for all the scuba puns here, but like, I love that, creating this experience. And when I have seen, you just kind of have to step back and like see the scale of what you're doing. Because when you see 400 kids worshiping Jesus in a room and just picturing Jesus in that room and knowing that he's being glorified like that. There is nothing like it. It is the best. It's my heart. I love it. It's on my license plate. I paid the DMV to put BBS on my license plate. I am committed.
Wow. Oh boy.
I know, right?
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
It's awesome.
I mean, starting with, it's a great, VBS is an awesome way to develop leaders,
yeah,
too.
It is.
You know, young, yep, adult leaders, you know, high schoolers, confirmation age kids, as they're caring for the younger. It's just a Jesus-filled experience, and the passion is on overdrive. You know, I'm a little offended. I used to be the kind of rah-rah pastor, yeah, for like opening and closing. I don't get it. There are some people that have surpassed my rah-rah, Becky, and that's okay. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. No, but it's so
amazing.
Fun.
It is so fun.
VBS is an awesome, just to, you know, double down on, it's a missional opportunity.
It is.
When moms and dads have their rhythms and, yep, what are we doing? It's summer. So
let's
tell them about Jesus. Let's go.
Amen.
So last question or two. You're a graduate of Ann Arbor.
Yes.
You can talk about that situation,
yes,
if you'd like.
Yeah.
And or what's going on as you just look at the culture of the LCMS right now. What's delighting you and maybe also frustrating,
yeah,
you as you look at your church body?
Yeah. I think, you know, the need for future thinking is very important. You know, I am grateful for the education I got at Concordia Ann Arbor, and I valued that so much, to have this community of people that were all in this together and growing in our relationships with Christ, to be able to become the next generation of leaders to take over. And if we don't have that in place, then we're not having this next generation of leaders come over and take over and lead through the next generation of Jesus followers, you know, which is a huge, mm-hmm, problem. And I just think some of my frustrations have been there, that there is a lack of urgency in this. Like, we are trying to win people for Jesus, and we have eternity on the line, and we have a very limited amount of time to win them for Jesus for eternity. And so, like, there has to be urgency there. There has to be a desire to say things aren't working. We have to make a change, and we can't be resistant to change anymore, and we can't be afraid of it. I get it. I know I was raised, like, I'm a German Lutheran. Like, I understand change is scary, but change is necessary. Like, we have to change how we're thinking about ministry and meeting people where they're at. You know, like, going back to the Taylor Swift Bible study and the hate that, mm-hmm, I've gotten from all, you know, only people
within
the church.
Which I imagine many Lutherans had said.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I haven't had other people, you know, hating on it.
Right.
But I think there is that resistance to change or doing something in a new way. And we have to meet people where they're at. That, like, I was thinking about, like, Jesus didn't make the blind man come and try to see where he was. He couldn't. Jesus had to go to him and heal him. And we're in a world and a culture that is spiritually blind, and they're not going to come to us anymore. Maybe back in the day, it worked to say, if you build it, they will come, and everybody comes to the Lutheran church that's in the area, whatever. But that doesn't work anymore. And so, if we don't change, we will die. Like, we have to be thinking forwardly and thinking, how do we meet these kids, these teens, these families, where they're at, to draw them into a relationship with Jesus? Because the world is only going to need more grace as we move forward into the future. And we've got that. Like, we have the most amazing grace and biblical foundation that we're built strong and sturdy on God's word. We've got that. We have a source of truth for a world that is searching, and we have a source of grace for a world that needs forgiving and love, unconditional, you know, like, so I am passionate about wanting to take those steps forward and not have this lack of urgency. We need to be urgent. We need to be steadfast. We need to keep going. We need to run to where the people are at and bring them to Jesus, because that's our heart song at the end of the day. That's our goal, you know? And so, mm-hmm, we can't be resistant to change. We can't be afraid of it. We got to chase after it, knowing that Jesus is chasing it with us.
So good. I love your passion.
Thanks.
my prayer, and I don't care, well, I do care about leadership, but whoever is president and having roles of influence, from synod president to district president to the presidium to those that are in the cabinet with President Harrison right now. I would love to hear more honesty around our struggles. Mm-hmm. Like if we're struggling in the local context, financially, relationally, like we have to look at the facts of what's going on, and then leaders make adjustments.
Yep.
That's vision. It doesn't have to be like this, but I don't hear a lot of honesty around, you know, there's almost this, it can feel at the national level, like, okay, we don't have a whole lot of responsibility nor ideas, and let's keep the data of the 700 plus congregations that don't have a pastor, the average worshiping size going down pretty precipitously decade over decade right now. Like, you have to start with where we're at, and then you develop creative, you know, using all of the assets that we have, the institutions, the leaders. We have so many assets that are available for us. But unfortunately, it feels like at the national level, they want to have all the responsibility and the controls over how things are done, with little recognition of the what needs to get done into the future.
Right.
And that's a very tough spot to be. Control with very little responsibility and oversight for what actually is happening at the grassroots level.
Right.
And that's one of the that's a heart cry of the ULC. Let's just look at the data and come up with creative solutions, tests that we can try. Like, we're not even a denomination necessarily that runs any tests. Tests are verboten, you know?
Right.
Well, we're not going to do it forever. Like, let's just see what the Lord wants to do.
Right.
It's unorthodox. It's almost heretical to run tests, but to change any organization, this is just first article realities, how God created us. For change to come, there has to be tests that are run, and you embrace the discomfort that come with we haven't done it that way. Well, no, the world is changing, and the church must evolve some of her methods, not compromising theology, but some of her methods must evolve. Anything more to add to that, Becky?
Yeah. I mean, well, just going off of that last thing that you said, like, the message stays the same, but the mode and the medium of which we get to people has to change. I mean, if Jesus came here today, he wouldn't talk about parables about vineyards and sheep. He would use Taylor Swift or Hollywood, you know, cartoon movies for kids and Disney. Like, he came to make change. Jesus did not come on earth to keep things the same. He came to shake it up. He stirred up the water. And I think that that's what we are being called to do at this time and in this place. Like, there's got to be some changes. We got to stir up the water, and we have to be transparent about it and not ignore the realities of what's happening in the Lutheran system. You know, like my grandma was just telling me that three Lutheran churches in her area just closed. And I'm like, that's a problem. And that's just taken as the norm, or like, oh, well, that's so sad. But like, oh, no, these are people's souls, and we are entrusted with their care. And so that's not a job that we can take lightly or push under the rug anymore. Like, we got to come like Jesus, barreling through the streets, yelling at the Pharisees and throwing tables and stirring up the water.
Yes. We need more Becky Chaplins in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Thank you.
You're getting us all fired up.
Spitfire, man. I am uber fired up today.
I love it.
I've been fired up, and now I'm even more fired up after hanging out with you. I knew this would be the case. People want to connect with you and your ministry. Becky, how can they do so?
Yes. You can contact me by email. My email is becky.chaplin, C-H-A-P-L-I-N, at faithlasvegas.org. I'm not great on social media, but you can find me on there too. But I primarily answered it to email best, so. I love it. I'm excited to connect with people.
This is Lead Time. Wonderful work, Jack and Becky. We'll be back in a couple days, three, four days with a fresh episode, having conversations that hopefully get you thinking. Jesus is leading. He's Lord of the church. The church, the mission of the church is not going to stop. The question is, will the mission of the church include the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod into the next generation? And we must focus on raising them up, casting big vision for them, giving them developmental experiences, probably earlier than you are comfortable with pastor, DCE, church leaders, elders, etc. Raise them up, give them responsibility, and they will they will rise to the challenge, because the same Holy Spirit that lives in you, leader, lives in those precious, precious little ones. It's a good day. Go and make it a great day. Thanks so much, Jack. Thanks, Becky.
Thank
you. God bless. Peace.
You've been listening to Lead Time, a podcast of the Unite Leadership Collective. The ULC's mission is to collaborate with the local church to discover, develop, and deploy leaders through biblical Lutheran doctrine and innovative methods. To partner with us in this gospel message, subscribe to our channel, then go to the uniteleadership.org to create your free login for exclusive material and resources, and then to explore ways in which you can sponsor an episode. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for next week's episode. The Unite Leadership Collective is excited to announce the launch of our new online learning platform. Whether you're considering entering into ministry or already leading, we have the resources that you need to become an empowered leader in your ministry. Our learning platform will release new courses every quarter, with our first available course, Becoming an Engaged Leader, available now. But by joining our monthly membership, you'll unlock unlimited access to all of our courses and gain entry into our exclusive coaching community space, where ministry leaders can connect with each other. This community also grants you access to bi-weekly coaching calls led by the ULC team, private Zoom calls, and additional team discounts. To celebrate the launch, we're offering introductory rates for all of our courses and the monthly subscription plan. Just enroll prior to January 1st using the code 75ULC2023 to get 75% off at checkout. Visit theuniteleadership.org to learn more about our online learning platform and start your journey to lead effectively in any church settings today.